Well, friends, turn with me this evening to the New Testament, to the first epistle of Peter in chapter 1. To the first epistle of Peter in chapter 1, and we're just going to read two verses, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. And the title of our message is Priceless and Precious. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain or empty conversation, lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Lamb without blemish and without spot. And the Lord will bless the word to our hearts. Well, this evening we're coming to this theme, the most important thing in the world. The most important thing. What might that be? What might it be to you? Maybe you have something very precious in your own possession. Maybe it's something that's been passed down over the generations, and you'd be lost without it. Maybe it isn't worth very much if it were to be auctioned at Sotheby's, but it's worth all the world to you. If you don't know where Sotheby's is, it's in England. It's in London, and it's an auction house, a famous auction house. But what is most precious to the Christian is something else. Not a thing, but something that we cannot manufacture, we can't create, we can't dream up, we can't even imagine. What is it? What is priceless and yet precious? Well, tonight we're going to look at a theme that perhaps has not been so common as it used to be, the precious blood of Christ. And what we're going to do is, just for a few moments, get a brief overview of how important the blood is in the Old Testament. It's mentioned thousands of times. Thousands upon thousands of times. The blood. Blood of the animals. Blood of the goats. Blood of the lambs. Blood of bullocks. All significant in the fact that they were shed, that they were sacrificed, that the blood was sprinkled for a purpose. It was a picture of the shedding of the Saviour's blood. All the sacrifice in the Old Testament point to one supreme sacrifice, point to one supreme event, point to one supreme occasion in the whole of history. Every sacrifice, blood sacrifice, done by the people of God in the Old Testament, by the priests of God, was done as a picture of the sacrifice of Calvary. So when you're reading your Old Testament, always remember, these sacrifices are typifying. They are pointing towards a great event that will soon come to pass. The Apostle Peter was very familiar with this. After all, he was a Jew. He grew up in Galilee, in the northern part of the Holy Land, as you might put it, up there around the Lake Galilee, but he was a devout Jew. He was serious-minded, and he knew what these sacrifices meant. But he would have only seen something of that as a boy growing up in his hometown. He would have been taught about these sacrifices. He would have been reminded of the old days when they had a temple where the sacrifices were offered in the time before he was born. And then, of course, he'd remember that there were sacrifices being offered in Jerusalem day and night. But the Apostle Peter here does something wonderful. He does something glorious. He does something that might surprise you. He is trying to encourage the believers who are suffering. And instead of telling them, it will be all right, it will be fine, just keep going, he reminds them of the preciousness of Christ. He reminds them of the precious truth that Jesus Christ gave himself as a lamb without blemish and without spot so that they could be forgiven for their sin. Whatever trial they were going through, whatever difficulty they were enduring, the way they've encouraged the believers was to remind them of Christ. Now, there's something very important here before we look at the text. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. None. There is no pardon without the shedding of blood. And there is no remission for sin without the shedding of blood. It's astonishing to say this, but the Bible makes much of the blood. And mankind, even religious men and women, make very little of the blood. The blood, sadly today, is never spoken about. But the old writers are full of it. Why is this? Because Christ means so much to them. And they saw the enormity of what the blood of Christ really meant, not only for them, but for the church of Jesus Christ. It speaks of penalty. It speaks of substitution. It speaks of sacrifice. It speaks of atonement. And it speaks of pardon for sin. That's what the blood speaks of. And if you read the New Testament, maybe Hebrews 9 and verse 12. What does the apostle say there? He says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Dear friends, without the shedding of blood, as the apostle says in another place in the same epistle, there is no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness. There's no cleansing. There's no new life. There's no hope for a guilty sinner. What can make the sinner clean? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So what we're going to do tonight is just take a few thoughts from this text. Verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed. Well, they know something. And every Christian knows this. We weren't redeemed. What does that mean? Purchased. Bought. There's a great price upon the souls of men and women and boys and girls, even this very night. And the price that is paid, it cannot be paid with human currency. And it can't be paid with human righteousness. And it cannot be paid with human goodness. This is redemption, as Paul says in the epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Not with corruptible things, silver and gold, or if you like, platinum, precious metals. Silver and gold still is worth something, even in our day, with digital currency on the horizon. But silver and gold, people think, oh, it'll always last, and it's so special, and that's how I can get into heaven. Talk to people, and they'll say, well, I've got a good inheritance for my grandchildren or for my great-grandchildren. But is anybody thinking about their never-dying souls? Corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, from your old life. You weren't redeemed with these things. It's interesting how the Apostle Peter puts it in the negative, not in the positive. You weren't redeemed with these. Now, normally what we would say is you were redeemed with something, but not with this. Ah, but that's not how the inspired apostle works. He's putting the not in front of us because then he can contrast it with the but in verse 19. And I know I've said this before, and I'll probably say it till the day I go to glory, but is a blessed word in the New Testament, especially when it's there to point to a contrast. If we weren't redeemed with silver and gold, the question is then, what were we redeemed with? If we weren't redeemed with those things we see, and those things we can touch, and those things we can hear, and those things we can smell, and those things that crowd in upon our minds, then what were we redeemed with? And the Apostle Peter doesn't waste time. He doesn't leave them, as it were, hanging in the air. He immediately gives the answer, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We'll look at the blood in a moment. What text is the Apostle Peter thinking of when he is writing these words? What great theme is in his mind when he's writing about a lamb without blemish and without spot? He's thinking of that occasion where a lamb was selected, separated, slaughtered, and the blood was sprinkled above the homes of the Israelites. Of course, he's thinking of Passover, the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb was very significant. And there you find that the lamb was to be without blemish, without disability or deformity, without any marks that would make it displeasing. This lamb was to be selected from the flock and then separated by the head of the household. And at the evening of the Passover, when God had said he'd pass through the land and destroy all the firstborn, if the people of Israel put the blood of the lamb upon the doorpost, the lintels and the head of the door, then they would be spared. Ah, but the Passover lamb pointed forward to how Apostle Paul puts it, Christ our Passover is even sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And so the Apostle Peter is thinking here of the Passover. And he's thinking of the lamb that is sacrificed. But he's more thinking of the Lamb of God who was sacrificed. Now let's think about this blood. I've got a few P's, so I hope that helps. The first is this. It's priceless. The blood of Jesus Christ is priceless. Oh yes, the world may raise its eyebrows at that, but the Christian knows it's true. You can't put a value on the blood of Christ. We can't. We haven't got the capacity to put any estimate upon the blood of Christ. Now, some friends like looking at these programs, and basically you have all these people coming. I won't say which show it is in case it's not your favorite. And these people come and they have these various heirlooms and these things that have been handed down over the years, or maybe they bought them for a very cheap in some market or something, and they bring it to some antique expert and he tells them, well, this is worth quite a lot of money. And then he spins it out longer and longer, and eventually you want to really know how much this particular thing is worth. Well, there was a lady a few years ago who went to a little second-hand shop, and she bought this little ring for about £25, which isn't very much, really. And she thought it was quite interesting and had an interesting sparkle. And it seemed to catch the light in certain places. And then one of her friends said, "That might be worth more than you think." So, after a few years, she plucked up the courage and brought it to one of these shows and showed it to this antique expert. And he got out his special eyeglass and looked at it. And he says, "Well, madam, there are diamonds in this." She said, "Oh." And then he went on to explain its history, and it had this head on the ring and all the rest. And she kind of knew that was something to do with France. And he told her the date, he told her the time. And then he says, "Well, actually, madam, this is two forms of diamonds. The outer ring is of one type, but the inner ring is worth even more." And she got a bit excited. Well, I suppose we all would. And he says, "Well, I can set a price on it because it's not priceless." And she says, "Well, how much is it worth?" This is after 10 minutes, of course. He said, "It's worth £20,000. She had bought it for a small sum. "But even that diamond ring is of no comparison in worth or value or price to the blood of Jesus Christ." Second thing is, it's purchasing. Notice the word, not redeemed with corruptible things. The word redeemed, well, to purchase. We are bought at a price. We are to glorify God in our body, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. We are redeemed through the blood of Christ, and we have the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. We have redemption through his blood and even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1 and verse 14. What's this redemption? It means to be bought. It means to have the down payment made for your salvation and mine. To be redeemed, we sing in one of our hymns, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." Friends, are we redeemed tonight? Are we redeemed? Has Christ bought us through his precious blood and his sinless sacrifice at Calvary? Are you a bought soul? Do you belong to the Lord? What estimate could you put upon the purchasing price of your never dying soul? God puts an estimate on it. He says, "The only way I can forgive sinners is that my son's blood was shed on their behalf." There's no other hope, no other grounds, no other way. But there's a third thing I want us to consider tonight, and it's precious. And you have that in the text as well in verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ." It's a treasure. It's special. When something is precious to us, it means that it has either got a fond, we have fond memories of someone who gave it to us, or it's very valuable. And for the Christian, there's one thing greater, more precious than anything else. It's the precious blood of Christ. Is it precious to us all? When you hear about the blood of Christ, do you think, "Oh, well, that's for someone else," or "that's a historical event that is of absolutely no consequence to me"? Well, the hymn writers often put it most succinctly. They put it like this: "In wonder lost, with trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God, pardon for sins of deepest dye, a pardon sealed with Jesus' blood." Or as one old hymn writer puts it, "Jesus, thy blood, thy righteousness." Is it precious? Let me give you an account of a man who you've never maybe thought about before. There was a gentleman called J.P. Morgan. He was a very well-known banker. He was a millionaire in the days when millionaires were very rare. He lived quite an interesting life. But sometime in his middle 50s, he came to understand that with all his millions, there was one thing needful. He had apparently grown up in a home where the Bible was read and the gospel was taught, but he had rejected it all and embraced the lifestyle and the career of a very successful banker. He wrote a will with 37 articles and 10,000 words. It's a bit like a PhD. And he had been involved in many transactions over the years. His family had made a huge fortune. But he recognized something even more valuable than all the wealth he had accrued. He recognized the priceless value of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And in his will, this is what he says: I commit my soul into the hands of my Savior, full of confidence that having redeemed me and washed me with his precious blood, he will present me faultless before the throne of my heavenly Father. I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all hazards and at any cost of personal sacrifice the blessed doctrine of complete atonement through the blood of Christ with regard to the believer's salvation. Imagine reading that in a will. Perhaps it's an idea we could take on ourselves. What's most precious to us when we're writing down our last will and testament? Surely it's Christ. And surely we should include this kind of truth: that of all the other things that we might possess, the blessed doctrine of the complete atonement through the blood of Christ with regard to the believer's salvation. Precious. The blood of Christ is precious to God. Without it, there's no forgiveness. God's wrath was satisfied, and his divine justice was satisfied through the blood. One man puts it like this: there is nothing more precious to the believer than the precious blood of our precious Savior. One Puritan puts it like this: as the merit of Christ's blood pacifies God, so the virtue of it purifies us. It is the King of Heaven's bath. It is a laver or a bath to wash in. It washes a crimson sinner milk white. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, 1 John 1 and verse 7. The word of God is like a looking glass to show us our spots, and the blood of Christ is a fountain to wash them all away. We've seen together the priceless blood, the purchasing of this blood, the precious blood, and lastly tonight, the power in the blood. We sang, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. His blood availed for me." Well, let me share this. John Wesley, a famous Methodist evangelist, was returning home one night from a service, and he was robbed, he was mugged. The thief, however, found his victim to have only a little money and not much else. Well, what did he expect? He's a poor preacher. He's not a millionaire banker. But as the bandit was leaving, Wesley said, "All I have is a little money and some Christian literature." And the bandit disappeared into the night. Or so he thought. Wesley shouted out, "Stop! I have something more to give you." The surprised robber turned around and says, "What is it?" Wesley said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." The thief hurried away, never thought any more of it. Until years later, John Wesley was preaching at a church, I believe in the United States. And after the Sunday service, he came down from the pulpit and he met this stranger who walked right up to him and said, "Sir, don't you remember me?" John Wesley looked at him perplexed. He says, "Young man, I've met many people over the years." He says, "Do you remember the time that a young man robbed you? It's in a very dark lane many years ago?" He says, "Well, I do. I'm the man. I've now become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has blessed my business, and I owe it all to you." And Wesley said, "No, you're wrong there. I'm delighted that you become a Christian. But no, my friend, you know it owed nothing to me, but you owe all to the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin." You see, the power of the blood of Christ. You might think your sins are too serious. You might think that your sins are too deeply dyed in your soul. You might think that no sin, or your sin, whatever that great sin is, could ever be forgiven by God. But God says, think again. The blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, is sufficient for me. Will we come to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to sing his praises? There's one old hymn I found, and I just wanted to read this to you. This is the testimony of a believer who has known what it is to come to the foot of Calvary and to ponder afresh the death of the Saviour on that cross, and to think of his suffering, yes, and the enormous debt we owe, yes, but then to go further and to say, how can I be forgiven? How can I, with a black soul, be cleansed and be given a white soul? How can I, deeply dyed in sin, be forgiven and be right with God? The only grounds that God speaks from the cross and says, the blood of my Son is sufficient and accepted. The cross of Christ is a wonderful place for sinners to go and bow their knees and ask Christ to be your Saviour. There's one hymn as we're going to read, "Our ransom paid, our pardon bought, our salvation secured. See what God has wrought. Through his blood alone, all our sins he did atone." And this song is the song of every saved sinner tonight on earth, washed in the blood. But it's also the song of every sinless saint in glory, washed in the blood. The Lamb without spot and without blemish, as the chorus is in Revelation 1 and verse 5, "Unto him that hath loved us and washed us of our sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen." O God, our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee that it's suited for every need and every soul need. We thank thee, O Lord, that when Christ shed his blood at Calvary's cross, that he had an amazing amount of people in his mind and on his heart. As he shed his blood, he knew exactly who it would be that would come to him. Yet, Lord, we pray in this day and age that thou wilt give us a fresh desire and a fresh longing to make this gospel known, to tell others of the priceless preciousness and the purchasing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt deal with each of us here, each one as known unto thee. Each one, indeed, O Lord, is either thine or not far from the kingdom we trust. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt draw even near tonight to precious souls and remind them that whatever sin they've committed in times past, whatever great heap or mountain of sins is heaped against them, that, Lord, the power of Jesus' blood is sufficient to cleanse us of all our sin. O Father, hear our prayers. Part us with thy blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.